now. Jesus now. Let us praise Him now. For we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Let's sing that one more time. We are standing. Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know they're all around. They're all around, so let us praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts, Jesus now. For we are standing, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise? Amen. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for another day that you've given us, Lord, just to be in your presence, Lord, and another Bible study that, Lord, we can come and, Lord, just hear your word, Lord God, and just, Lord God, just receive revelation from you, Lord. And we ask that as we're here today, Lord God, that you just move me out of the way, that you may speak through me, Lord God. And Lord, we ask that, Lord, the ones that are on their way, that they would, Lord, arrive safely, and the ones that aren't able to make it, Lord, may you just be with them and comfort them and strengthen them wherever they may be, Lord God. Lord, may your word be spoken in clarity, Lord God. And Lord God, may you break it down, Lord, in simplicity, Lord God, where, Lord God, the simplest one and the smallest one can understand it, Lord God. We ask that, Lord, as the song says, word of God speak, let it pour down like rain. Lord, we ask that you speak tonight, Lord, and just speak to our hearts, Lord, in a special way. We also pray for our brother Jack as he is overseas. Lord, we ask that you just continue to bless him and keep him and protect him. And Lord, that's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians. Well, last Wednesday, we went over a subject of serpent seed, and we want to go ahead and wrap that study up. Also, take some time also to review over it as well. So we're going to go back over some of the things that we went over last week, and then go ahead and tie it up tonight. So we're going to be doing a lot of flipping in the Bible, a lot of reading. And the quotes will be up on the wall, so you'll be able to read with us. So if you do have a pen and a piece of paper, you might want to get that just to jot some things down, because a lot of times it's good for either if you already know the subject that you can refresh yourself, or if you don't know the subject, to go ahead and jot it down, because these questions will be asked to us, and we don't only study subjects like serpent seed just to get headstrong and just say, I know this, I know that, but just to show also where we stand in this last day and where we stand according to Scripture as well. And we just pray that it's a blessing and God just brings clarity to this subject today. So first we're going to start in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 1. Revelations chapter 12 and verse 1. And as you're finding your place, at the beginning of time, God created the heavens and the earth, and we all know this. And as God created the angels, there was an angel that was created called Lucifer, and we all know Lucifer. And as God was sitting there and saying, let there be light, let there be sun, let there be stars, let there be a galaxy, and all these different things, Lucifer was right there watching God create everything. And as Lucifer was right there watching God create everything, Lucifer got a little jealous. You know, and sometimes I know that we've even felt that way as human beings. When you see somebody do a really good job and, you know, you think you can do it better and stuff, you get a little mindset of, I can do it better and I can do this and I can do that. You might get a little jealous. And this is what happened at the beginning in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. And it reads as follows, and it said, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that the devil, he rose up and wanted to try to take over a lot of things. And what happened? He got cast into the what? Earth. And I'm just going to talk to you a little bit, and I might need you to respond, so we're going to almost be like class just a little bit. So you're the students, and for this time, I look like I'm the teacher, so I'm like, oh. So one more time, the devil got cast into the what? The earth. So let's actually go on and further prove this. Let's turn into Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 13 and verse 12. Well, actually, we're going to start in verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. Now, the Bible has to connect from Genesis to Revelations, everything in the middle, everything in the beginning, and everything in the end. You want to always make sure it dovetails. A lot of times, preachers or anybody else, they'll take one scripture and then just run with it and don't regard the other Bible and just say, oh, don't regard that. But we wanted to connect from Genesis to Revelations. So in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it goes on to talk about this character, Lucifer. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O who? Lucifer. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, in thine what? And doesn't the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he? It started in his heart. In his heart, he didn't want to serve God. In his heart, he wanted to be a ruler, and he wanted to be this, and he wanted to be that. And you know what? When it starts here, it says, so as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. And it started in his heart, I want to do this and I want to do that. And he made that action, and God was like, no, I'm God here. I'm God all by myself. There's only one God. I have this under control. And Lucifer was like, no, I don't want to listen to you. And after that, this fight went on in heaven. It says, in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So we're going to stop there. So he wanted to be like God. He wanted to be better than God. He wanted the angels to worship him. He wanted all this kind of stuff. And God was like, no, I'm sorry. That's just not going to happen. So we see Lucifer gets cast down into the earth. And he sees that God has done all this kind of stuff. And Lucifer, he has a question. He says, how can I make my own Eden? How can I make my own heaven? How can I make my own creation? And Satan, he cannot create, but he can only pervert. So let's say that one more time. Satan cannot what? But he can only. Satan cannot what? Create. He can only pervert. So now let's turn to Genesis. And this is where the base of our story is coming from. And one more time, we're just coming off of serpent seed. The subject that we're talking about is serpent seed. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. So God, as you're turning there, God makes the mountain, God makes the sun, God makes the sea, God made the creatures and everything. But then he says, let us make man in our own image. And as he says that, we find ourselves right here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put man whom he formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he made two trees. He made the tree of life and made the tree of knowledge of good and of what? So he made two trees. The first tree was the tree of what? And the second tree was the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Now, God gives a commandment. I want you to skip down to verse 16. Skip down to verse 16 in chapter 2. All right, and it says this. And the Lord commanded, so this is a commandment given to man. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. So he said, when the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. One more time, once you say, surely die. Now, does the Bible say maybe? No, it says what? Surely die. So now I want you to skip down the verse in the same chapter, chapter 2, and verse 21. Now, at this time, Adam is the only one that's created. Adam is the only one that's walking around in this garden. Now, God created a lion and a lioness, a male and a female. He created, a gorilla and a gorillaless, or if that's the word, a gorilla and a male and a female. He created a peacock and a peacockness, or a male and a male and a female. But Adam was by himself, and as Adam was by himself, God needed to create for him a helpmeet, somebody that was going to help him, somebody that's going to be there for him. But I want you to listen, keep this in your mind. The person that God was going to create for Adam wasn't the original, but she was taken out of Adam. And we're going to read this in Scripture, but she was taken out of Adam. Eve was what? Taken out of Adam. Out of Adam. And we want to go ahead and read this part here. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And it says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs. And how many ribs did he take?
One.
One more time. How many ribs did he take?
One.
And this will be very important a little bit later. And closed up his flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and bought her unto him. So from this one rib, he gave Adam two wives. He gave her three wives. He gave how many wives did Adam give? Did God give Adam? One. How many ribs did God take out of Adam? One rib, one wife, one man, one husband, one altogether. Amen. All right. So now we see Eve steps on the scene. We see that in the sight of God, Adam and Eve are husband and wife, and everything just seems to go smooth. But in the beginning, we said that who was cast out of heaven? Lucifer, Satan. He's all the same person. Lucifer or Satan, he was cast out into the earth, and as he was cast out into the earth, Satan was looking. He's like, you know what? I can't get into Adam because Adam is an original creation, but this person Eve, it looks like I'll probably be able to mix into her. I'll probably be able to work with her, but I need somebody to work with. Now we're in Genesis chapter 3. Now, in your Bibles, in Genesis chapter 3, it says this. Now the serpent was the most subtile than any beast of the field. Now these words are very, very important. He was more subtile than any what of the field? Beast of the field. He was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And if you look in your Bibles, tell me what kind of punctuation mark that's at the end of that. A question mark? All right. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can look up on here. There's a question mark behind it. Now, this is all very important as we go forth in our study. Every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst. Now, all these words are very important. Of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And it goes on to say, and the serpent said unto the woman, yea, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now this is God speaking. He said, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hadst thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said to the the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Now, these are very important words. Beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, this is the Lord talking to the serpent now. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we see this big scene taking place, and a lot of times in today's society, a lot of people say, oh, it was this, and oh, it was that, and a lot of preachers have their ideas, and a lot of times they don't know what to think of it, so they just say, oh, it was an apple. How many have heard that before? It was an apple. How many have heard it was a plum or it was a pomegranate? A lot of times when you see the picture of Adam and Eve in the garden, usually don't you see in paintings a snake wrapped around in a tree probably looking down and talking to Eve? This is man's interpretation, but you know what? Without spiritual revelation, men will go off with their own ideas, their own theology and stuff, but won't take it back to God's word. Just because they don't know it, they won't turn to nobody for help. A lot of times, even I found myself in this situation sometimes. If I don't know how to handle something in school, except for asking somebody, I'll just say, okay, I think that's how it is, and I'll just see if it's right or wrong. And usually when I don't ask somebody or don't go to somebody that already knows about it, you know what? Usually I get it wrong. But when you go to somebody that knows what they're talking about, knows what they're doing, knows exactly the revelation behind whatever problem it is, then after that you can get some clarity upon what you want to do. And I want to, we're going to take a lot of the quotes today are from the message Serpent Seed, and we're going to read this one thing. In Serpent Seed 38-4, in the very, very beginning, they had something called the Urim Thummim. How many know what the Urim Thummim is? Raise your hand. How many don't know what the Urim Thummim is? Raise your hand. All right, so for those that don't know what the Urim Thummim is, what would happen, a man would usually, he'll wake up. And he'll say, oh, I got a dream from the Lord. Oh, I got a prophecy from the Lord. Oh, I got a vision. And he will be really excited. But you know what? The priest didn't get excited over this man getting excited. They didn't get excited over him running around and saying, oh, I had a vision. Oh, this is thus saith the Lord. And this is thus saith the Lord. You know what? They said, all right, you know what? Let's do this. You put on this thing called the Urim Thummim. And as they would put on the Urim Thummim, it was a breastplate which had stones on it. And what he would do, he would stand before the congregation, and what he would do, he would stand there and tell his dream or tell his vision or tell whatever it was. And if it was true, it would flash, and the colors would show off of the Urim Thummim. But if it wasn't true, it wouldn't flash. And whatever that man said, it doesn't matter how good it sounded, doesn't matter how, boy, the congregation was saying amen, if it wasn't true, it wouldn't flash before the people. And you know what? They usually get rid of that person. But that was in the Old Testament days. That they used that Urim Thummim. But Brother Branham says this in the message of Serpent Seed. It says, now everybody knows that the old priesthood was gone, done away with, and the Urim Thummim went with it. We all know that. We all know that, don't we? Now he goes on to say this. Now this is a very important part. It says, and the new priesthood was come in. And what do we have the Urim Thummim today? Yes, sir. God's word. So if you want anything to be proven, you have to go to what? If you are really, really excited about a dream or a vision, you know what? I'm glad you're excited, but you have to take it back to God's word. If it doesn't line up with the word, if it doesn't line up from Genesis to Revelation, I'm not just talking about one scripture, but if it doesn't line up all the way through, I'm sorry, but you're excited over something that's wrong. But if you're excited and you have a vision and you have a purpose and you're like, oh, I got this, and it lines up with God's word, it flashes and the word will confirm it. It goes on to say this, the Urim Thummim is God's word. Yes, sir. If any man has any kind of revelation or speaks anything or any doctrine that's not according or coping with the Bible throughout the entire scripture, he is wrong. I don't care what denomination he is, how good he is, how smart he is, how educated he is. He is wrong. If it does not come in line with God's word, he is right or wrong. So now I challenge the people that teach that it was an apple in the beginning. I challenge the people that teach that it was a serpent from the beginning. I challenge the people that say it was this, it was an apple, it was a tree and all this kind of stuff. I challenge that person. I challenge anybody, and you know what? You will have the same ability to challenge anybody that has to say that. Why? Because you are coming off of not idea, but God's word. Amen? All right, so we're going to turn into serpent seed, and we're going to read in here. Let me go ahead and get my page together. All right, so 19-3, we want to read this. It says, now, is that where I want to be? Oh, nope, I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. It says, Brother Branham says this in 21-3, I'm sorry. It says, now, here is what taking place. Now, he's talking about what happened in the beginning. I believe and I can support it by the what? By the Bible. A lot of men are supported by their thoughts. But Brother Branham said, I'm supporting it by the what? The Bible. What's our Urim Thummim today? The Bible. It goes on to say, the Bible, that it is a serpent that did it. The serpent is the missing person between the chimpanzee and the man. Because listen, notice this now, that the serpent was not a reptile. He was the most subtile of all the beasts of the field. So, whoa, these pictures and everything, they have this snake that's up in the tree, but Brother Branham said from the beginning he wasn't a what? A reptile. But what's our Bible say? In Genesis chapter 2, it said he was the most subtile what? Beast. So there's a big difference between a reptile and a beast. If you know a reptile has scales, a beast has fur. One more time, a reptile has scales, but a beast has fur. There's a big difference. And my Bible said that he was the most subtile what? So the pictures that everybody's drawing with this snake in the tree, does it match with our Urim Thummim? No, it doesn't. He was the most subtile beast of the field. Now I went and got dictionaries today from everywhere to look up this word, what the word of subtile meant. It meant to be smart, to be crafty, and the best interpretation of the Hebrew from M-A-H-A-H, maha, means having a true knowledge of the principle of life. So a lot of people may try to argue you down and say, oh, it was a beast and all this kind of other stuff, and the Greek says this, and the Hebrew says this, and they say all that to act like they're smart. But you know what? You can take them back to the Hebrew and said, well, the Bible says he was the most subtile beast. Now, if you look in dictionary.com, that's my favorite place to go. It says subtile means smart or crafty. And when you look in the Hebrew, the word maha, I think I'm saying that right, it says meaning to have the true concept of knowledge and principle of life. This serpent knew how to reproduce. This serpent knew how to create. This serpent knew what he was doing. Now, as a serpent knew this, let's kind of get a picture of the serpent. What did a serpent look like? All right, so we're in serpent seed still, 22-8. 22-8 says this. Let's take him now and see what he looks like. He's a great big fella, prehistoric giant. That's where they find these big bones. And I'll show you this in the Bible. Now watch closely, all right? This great big fella, let's say he was 10 foot tall. Now, Brother Branham, when I have to be honest, when I read this and he said he was 10 foot tall, my thought, my personal thought, I'm like, that's kind of far-fetched. That's kind of weird. A 10-foot tall serpent? I mean, come on. But you know what? God likens his prophets unto eagles, right? And with an eagle, how many know anything about eagles? Raise your hand. Eagles go way, way up there where no birds can go, right? And eagles can see all the way in the future, and eagles can see all the way what's in front of them, and eagles can see what's all the way behind them. And one prophet in the scripture, his name was Moses. Moses was the person that actually wrote the beginning parts of the Old Testament. Now, where was Moses in Adam and Eve's day? Where was Moses in Abraham's day? Where was Moses in all that time? You know what? Moses wasn't there, but what God did, he raised up that prophet. He raised him up into a realm where Moses was able to look back and see what happened in the garden and actually write down in the book of Genesis. He raised him up and saw what happened in Abraham and wrote that down. God likens his prophets unto eagles. He'll raise them up and he'll let them look all the way down in the past and let them look all the way down in the future as well. And to give proof to this, how many have ever listened to a Brother Branham tape? Raise your hand. All right, some hands went up. Raise your hand. Have you ever listened to a Brother Branham tape? Now, a lot of times when people were coming to the prayer line, and Brother Branham said, you had this happen in your life, and you had this happen in your life. In order for him to say that happened in your life, that happened in the past, right? And God raised his prophet up to see what happened in the past, right? When Congressman Upshaw was going through his situation, he was in a wheelchair and he had an accident when he was a little boy. God raised his prophet up to look what happened in the past. So if God raised him up to see what happened in people's past, if God raised Moses up to show what happened in Genesis, I believe, now this is my personal belief, God raised Brother Branham up in that realm to look back to what happened in Eden, and he can say it was a beast from the beginning. He was a prehistoric creature. And if Brother Branham said that the serpent was 10 foot, you know what? I believe that the serpent was 10 foot. All right, so it goes on to say a great big fellow, let's say he's 10 foot, great big shoulders, look just like a man, and his blood, after come down, coincided one animal to another. You can cross animals, and it kept getting higher blood, higher form of life, higher form till it climbs all the way into a man's realm. But the last connection here between here was cut off. How many knows that science can't find that missing link? How many know that science today can't find that missing link? They can't find it at all. Science can't find that missing link. All of you know that. Why? Here he is, the serpent. Here he was, a great big fellow. And you know what? Actually, you can go on google.com. They're actually found in snakes. They have like these little pincher things that are on the bottom. They're very, very small. And if you don't believe me, Google it. They have these little pincher things. And as they have these little pincher things that actually looked into the body and the skeletal form of a snake. And actually, you know what they found? They found the snakes, the little pincher, the hip bones look just like a human's. One more time. Their hip bone looked just like a human, showing that, you know what? This beast stood up one time. This beast talked with someone one time, and this beast looked close to a human that even science has approved themselves that it's National Geographic and everything, that snakes, they have this little pincher thing that shows that probably they had legs at one time. And actually, the article says word for word, it says snakes had legs one time, and you can look it up. It said snakes had legs one time, but they didn't use it. So over time, this is what science says, they didn't use it, so their legs shriveled up. That's what science says. But my Bible says, the Urim Thummim says that he was cursed from the beginning. And I don't go off of what science says, I go off of what my Bible says, because when I raise my Bible up and I read what actually happened to the serpent, that shines. What science says, that doesn't shine. What people say, that doesn't shine. What the pastor may say, or this great man that's really smart in his head, what he may say, that doesn't shine. But if I want to get any answers, I turn to my what? Bible. Amen. Just like Brother DJ says, I believe it because my Bible tells me so. So let's go on to see what actually happened in the garden. So we see that Eve is walking around, and I'm going to take a little time and you can put that down. Eve is walking around with her husband. And before the serpent comes into play, God gave the commandment to who at the beginning? Adam. One more time, it said God commanded who? Adam. He said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge, of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So I'll say that one more time, and it says it right here in the scripture, that Eve was nowhere present, but God commanded who? Adam. He said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But after that, Eve comes into place. After God gave him the commandment, Eve came into place. Now, it was Adam's responsibility to tell his wife what God's commandment was. Now, I want you to listen to this part. It was Adam's responsibility to tell Eve, his wife, what God's commandment was. It is our responsibility to listen to our Adam, Jesus Christ, to listen to what his commandment is. Because in order for the bride to stand in this last day, she has to stand on the word and on the word alone. She can't stand on her ideas. She can't stand on her head knowledge. She has to stand on the word and the word alone. But as she stands on the word and word alone, I can see, let's get ourselves on the scene. Adam probably gives Eve a hug and says, all right, honey, I'm going to go name some more animals. She said, all right, honey, you have a good one. And Adam goes walking away. Now, Adam walks away, but Eve is carrying that word. Eve has been taught, right? Eve was taught the commandment of the Lord. We shall not eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So as Eve walks and she's probably eating an apple or, you know, just eating the fruits of the garden and stuff, then this serpent walks up. And, you know, she doesn't, you know, he doesn't see the husband nowhere. And he says, Eve, come over here. How you doing? You know, how's your day going? She's like, oh, it's going good. And everything is going nice and pleasant and stuff. He's like, all right, all right. So, you know that God said, and remember, I want you to pull that up. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, please. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And I said that everything is very, very important. So let's turn to your Bibles in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now what, go back to verse 1, what punctuation mark is at the end? A question mark. You know what? Men will question you. I said, men will question you. Oh, you know, it's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? Oh, it's water baptism with sprinkle. We baptize you forward. We baptize you backwards. We baptize you just in the name of Jesus. They will question you. And the devil questioned Eve just to see where she stood. And you know what? Eve made a mistake. Except for going and saying, okay, hold on. Let me go get my husband. She said, oh, let me take on this by myself with my own ideas. And it goes on to say that when the devil asked her this question, she said, oh, no, that's not what the Bible said, or I'll even take it further than this. That's not what Brother Branham said. That's not what the prophet said. No, let me get you straight, serpent. God said we can eat of all the other trees, but of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, we can't eat. But you know what? Eve was holding her ground. Eve was doing really good, but you know what? She was doing it without her head in front of her. And a lot of times, denominations will walk, Pentecost will walk out without their head in front of them. Baptists will walk out without their head in front of them. Catholic and Methodist and all these other denominations, what Brother Jack says, blasphemous names and stuff, they'll walk out without their head in front of them. Or not just saying head, but without Jesus in front of them. And Jesus is the Word, so I'll say this, without the Word in front of them. They'll take everything else, but they'll neglect this word and neglect that word and neglect this and neglect that. Oh, it doesn't mean this. Oh, that wasn't a real interpretation. Or we think it's this way. Or the presiding bishop said is this. Or the superintendent said is this. And this is how we follow it. And you know what? When a woman, which types of church, gets from behind her head, she's in trouble. And Eve got from behind her head. Her head wasn't there and she didn't even call her head. And you know what? She got in trouble. And with her getting in trouble, she found herself in a Laodicean condition. Now listen to this part. Eve was blind because God allowed her to be blind in the beginning. Eve was naked because God allowed them to be naked from the beginning. But you know what? Because of all this sin and everything that happened, you know what? The church finds itself just like Eve. Didn't the book of Revelation say they were blind and naked in the days of Laodicea? They're blind and naked and don't know it and miserable and don't know it. They find themselves, when they do away with the head, they're blind, they're naked, they're miserable, and they don't know it. So as this whole conversation goes on with Eve and everything, let's go ahead and pick up what happened. the serpent begins to talk and says, you know, oh, you shall not surely die. And or if I can, if you don't mind, if I dramatize it and put it in today, the serpent got Eve excited. You know what the serpent did? I can imagine the serpent doing this, because Brother Branham said the first person to take the word and open it up was the serpent. He takes the word and opens it up and said, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Oh, Lord. And Eve is jumping. Yes, hallelujah, hallelujah. And amen. And don't you know that God is good? Don't you know that God? Oh, Lord. Getting Eve all excited, worked up, boy. Boy, Eve is like, amen, amen. And you know what? You know what the serpent does? And now I got something for you, Eve. I got you an apple. Eat this apple. Don't the denominational preaching, boy, they get you worked up. Worked up over false doctrine. Baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Oh, that's right. Excited over false doctrine. And you know why you get excited? Or why, if you're not under the blood of God, you know why you get excited? Because your head isn't in front of you. Because the word is not in front of you. Her head wasn't in front of her, so she just took anything. Oh, that sounds good. So I got an apple for you. And from this apple, when you bite into this apple, this special apple, or this special plum, or this special grape and stuff, when you bite into it, you're going to have a son. You know what? They'll say all this kind of stuff, and it don't make no sense, but you still say, amen, that's right. Do you understand what he said? Nope. But amen, that sounds good. This apple's going to make you conceive and bear a son. Y'all, that's not what my Bible says. Let's see what Brother Branham says. It says, now when this woman, he made him a helpmeet, and actually, I don't know if I'm in the right spot. Yeah, no, I am. Okay. All right, so it says this. Now here, I've never had a preacher to agree with this yet, and they tried to make it some other way, but it doesn't make sense to me. They tried to say that Adam and Eve eat some apples. Don't they try to say Adam and Eve ate some apples? He said, brother, I don't say this for a joke now, but I want to say it, for if eating apples make women realize they're naked, we better pass the apples again. And he says, and you know that's right. Walking down the street. But DJ, don't you think we should just carry like a big old thing of apples? I mean, if it was me walking on college, boy, I'd be throwing apples like, eat this apple, eat it. And it should let you know something about yourself. She eat it. You don't realize you're naked? No. So it wasn't an apple, boy. I go to Winn-Dixie and get me some pears. Just throw pears out. Hey, don't you realize? Nope. I mean, just throw this. So you know what? Sometimes you go to different churches, I'll say blasphemous name churches, and throw fruit at them. And they're like, no, we still don't see it. So it wasn't an apple from the beginning. So what was it really? What really happened at the beginning? In 23-2, so it wasn't an apple from the beginning. Was it a pear? Was it a pear? That's all right. Y'all can answer me. Was it a pear? Was it a grape? No, that's not what it was from the beginning. This is what Brother Branham says in 23-2. Notice now the devil... I want to actually start a little bit above that. It says, now when you go to look at a woman and act with her, remember you are anointed of the devil. It's not your wife. Let me just stop there. If you go to live with a woman and that's not your wife, if you're just saying, oh, we're just shacking, you know, we're just seeing, you know, just to get to know each other, see if we're, you know, if we're ready for each other and stuff like that. Brother Branham says, that if you just get to know a lady and you're just living with a lady and you just want to get to know her and stuff, he said, you're anointed by the devil. So you can go to somebody. Oh, we're just shacking. Oh, no, that's not right. Oh, yes, it is. You know, it's okay. My church says it's okay. You know, let me let you know something. Adam and Eve, they were supposed to be together. And, you know, the serpent came in here and got everything mixed up. Look in the Bible and then look where you are. You're anointed by the devil. Whatever, and they'll just walk away. But they're anointed by the devil. If you've If you know someone, or even if on the tape or even here, I'm just saying this. If you find yourself in that position where you're living with somebody that's either somebody else's wife or not your own wife, you find yourself anointed by the devil. It goes on to say, notice now the devil came down and got into the serpent. Now, a lot of people may argue, well, how can you prove that this beast talks? Well, in my Bible, it said that Balaam's donkey talked. And also in my Bible, how can you prove that a spirit can take control over a beast? How can you prove that? Well, the maniac Gadara, when he was freed of his spirits, those spirits jumped onto the swine, which were a type of a beast. And the beast ran violently and jumped over that cliff. So you know what? A spirit can make an animal talk, and a spirit can make an animal move as well. So shut that argument down. It said, the devil came down and got into the serpent, and he found Eve in the Garden of Eden naked, and he talked about the fruit in the midst. And then Brother Branham makes emphasis. He says, in the midst means middle and so forth. You understand, in the midst, congregation. And he said, now it's pleasant, it's good to the eye. And what did he do? Listen to this. He began making love to Eve and lived with her as a husband. So when men live in adultery, you know who they're anointed by? Who was the first person to live in adultery? One more time. Who was the first person to live in adultery? The serpent. The serpent was inspired by Satan and stuff. So you know what? When you find somebody living in adultery today, you know who they're inspired by? Satan. When you find somebody just shacking, you know who they're inspired by? Satan. Genesis is the seed. Book. Everything that happened in the beginning. If you want to know what happened, just look at Genesis and see what happened. It goes on to say this. And she saw it was pleasant, so she went and told her husband. But she was already pregnant by Satan, and she brought forth her son, her first son, whose name was Cain, the son of Satan. Now you go forth and tell those people, now Cain was the son of Satan. Cain was the son of Satan. And some people may say, oh yeah, that's right. But some people may say, prove that by the Urim Thummim. Prove that by scripture. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. And as you're turning there, if you read, if I'm not mistaken, it's either in Genesis 4 around that scripture, Genesis 3 or 4. Eve said, now listen, this is what Eve said. Eve said, when Cain was born, that I have begot a man from the Lord. That's what Eve said. Now, Eve or woman represents the what? Woman represents the what? Woman represents, one more time, the what? So a lot of times when the church births something, the church birth praise dancing. We begot something from the Lord because David danced before the presence of the Lord. Does that line up with scripture? Oh, we birth church comedy, but does that line up with the word? Does that line up with the Urim Thummim? Oh, we begot tag team preaching, and we begot woman preachers and stuff. We begot that. We begot something from the Lord. And you know what? And the anointing falls on it too. My Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And Brother Branham explains it like this. He says that, you know, the wheat is down there and the weeds are down there, and they both rejoice. But when it comes harvest time, you know what? Only the wheat is taken up for the harvest, but the weed is cast into the fire. So now let's see if this is really a man from the Lord. Now, that's what Eve said. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. All right, so is everybody there? It says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So Eve said, I begot a man from the Lord. This is the man, he got the anointed. This is Prophet Cain. This is Bishop Cain. This is my boy right here. I mean, boy, anything that he says is gospel. But the Bible says that he was from the wicked one. Now you tell me, is God wicked? Would God murder? Would God steal? Would God beguile somebody? Would God kill somebody? Is God a wicked one? No, if God isn't a wicked one, then who is the only wicked one that we have? Satan. Cain was from God or from Satan? So Eve's revelation of her boy was wrong. But you know what? Also, she had another boy that was Abel. But let's go ahead and just stay on course. So we see that Cain is not from the Lord, but Cain is from the serpent. Now, you know what happened after this act came and Adam sees that, she had already been with the serpent, and he's like, man, I got to do something here. And he plants his seed there. You know what? They realized they were naked. And as they realized they were naked, they got fig leaves and sewed it up on each other, and they hid themselves. Right after that, God comes down and says, all right, you know, Adam and Eve, it's about 7 o'clock. It's, well, 7:30 is church time. All right, so Adam, Eve, where y'all at? Adam? Eve, where y'all at? He hiding behind the bush. God, we're back here. We're naked, and we can't come before your presence. Whoa, wait, hold on. What? You're what? We're naked. Whoa, Come on out. I realize what you said, but come on out. A lot of times, churches will find themselves in that position, or even a Christian will find themselves in this condition, ashamed of what they just did, and won't come before the presence of God. Won't come to get it right. They're so ashamed that they say, oh, God will never forgive me. Or sometimes I hear this, oh, I'm coming to church, but I just need to get myself together first. You know what? God didn't say to Adam and Eve, get yourself together and then come before my presence. He didn't say, oh, fix yourself up and make sure you're all clean, then come before my presence. He said, no, I want to know what happened. Bring yourself, come as you are, but we're going to deal with this sin. But come as you are, and we're going to figure out what just happened. I need Adam and I need Eve, and then this can't just happen with one more person. And Eve probably points over there, and the beast is probably hiding. He said, I need the beast too. We need to bring you. You need to come to church, and you need to bring your beast to church as well. Whatever your beast is, it can be this, it can be that. But you know what? Bring your problem, bring your situation, bring yourself and that beast to the situation so God can take care of everything. Don't leave your beast back at home. Don't tell the beast, hide so we don't see you, and hide for this and hide. No, don't do that. Bring the beast with you to church.
All right, brother.
All right. So you stand before the presence of God as Adam and Eve and the beast, or I can say the church, the word, and the beast, and what's getting ready to happen? They stand there before God naked, and they're standing there, and God can see straight through it. You know what? You might sit in church, you may raise your hand, but God said, I see straight through it. And Brother Branham says that those fig leaves, they were see-through, and you know what? You can do all this, but I see straight through you. And I know what just happened. I know that you made a mistake, but won't you just come before my presence and let me get everything settled down and stuff. Let me take care of it. So they come up together, and Brother Branham says this. He says, then they began the army fashion of 23/8, and actually I'm starting a little bit above. I know where we said we were going to go, but I'm starting a little bit above. It said, then they began to do army fashion, passing the buck. Said, well, the woman you gave me done it. She the one persuaded me. Now listen to this. It's, from the beginning, it said that God gave Eve to who? To Adam. And in the scriptures, it says this in Genesis chapter 3. He said, the woman that thou gavest me. You didn't give it to nobody else, but you gave me this woman. And as she's my wife, she shouldn't be running around doing this certain stuff. You know what? The woman types the what? Lord, you gave me a bride. So my bride shouldn't be running around saying, I'm under another name of Pentecost. I'm under another name of this, another name of that. No, when a woman starts running around and things like that, you know what she's called? She's called a prostitute or a whore. And the book of Revelation says, The great whore, which is the Catholic Church, she had daughters which were harlots. And those people are the people that run around with other men or with other men's ideas, with other men's this, with other men's that. They run around and they don't stay with their husband, but what do? They ran around. And Eve found herself in this harlot's place, in this whore's place. And this is what the Bible says. That's why I'm saying it like this. In this place where she didn't stay with her husband, but what she do? She ran around. This woman that thou gavest me, and Brother Branham goes on to say, and she said, the serpent give me an apple. This is what Brother Branham said. He said, the serpent give me an apple. He said, all right, preacher, get next to yourself. See, the prophet wasn't only able to be risen up and see what was in the future, what was in the past, but God anointed his prophet so much that he will be preaching and he can hear the thoughts that are thought in the congregation. You know what? And that didn't stop in Brother Branham's day. Because if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that will happen in the church. And I will actually give a testimony of that. Brother Wesco was preaching one time. And as he was preaching, he was just preaching and preaching and preaching. He said in the middle of service, and I was there, he pointed out to the congregation, he didn't say who, but he said, don't think that I hear your thoughts up here. But not only that, I'll give my personal testimony. I was up here preaching one time, and I was saying a certain thing, and then I heard it in my head. I heard it very clear, and I just turned. I didn't say who. I didn't even know who, but I just said, don't think that. So it shows it didn't stop back there in Brother Brennan's day, but it's moving on into today's ministry. And no doubt, when he said, I give her an apple, he heard somebody was like, yeah, that's what it was. He said, all right, preacher, get next to yourself. Brother Branham says this. She said, the serpent beguiled me. One more time. She said, the serpent what? Beguiled me. Now, when I was, a little kid, I'm just saying this for general. When I was a little kid, they said it was an apple. They said it was this. They said it was that. But the Bible says, the Urim Thummim says, that the serpent what? Beguiled. And Brother Branham brings it a little bit deeper. He said, the serpent beguiled me. Do you know what beguiled means? It means defile. Can you defile or beguile somebody with an apple? Can you defile somebody with a plum? Can you defile somebody with a pomegranate? Can you defile somebody with an apricot? Nope. There's only one way you can beguile somebody, and that's to know them. Defiled me, and she was. The devil never give her an apple. The serpent has beguiled me. Now we see that the serpent, Satan got into the serpent, and the serpent planted his seed into the woman. So she's carrying the serpent seed, and she's carrying, now Adam plants his seed, so she's carrying two seeds at this time. And one day these seeds are going to come to birth and stuff. So where does this leave us now? God begins to look around. He says, all right, I had to set something straight. Let's turn into Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to bring this to a close. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14. So now Eve told his part of the story. Adam told his part of the story. Eve told her part of the story. Now the serpent, he doesn't really have a story to tell because he has nobody to pass the buck on to, like Brother Branham says. So Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, it says this. And the Lord God said unto the what? So who is God talking to at this time? The serpent. So who's God talking to? In verse 14, who is God talking to? It said, God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Well, National Geographic said that they were walking around snakes. You know, one time they would walk around on their feet. They didn't just use their feet no more. Then after that, their feet just disappeared, and they just start slithering. That's what National Geographic said. Well, my pastor said it was a snake because it says it was a serpent, and I'm going to paint the picture of this snake in the tree and stuff, and that's what it was. That's not what my Bible says, or that's not what the Urim Thummim says. You take National Geographic before the Bible, it won't flash. You take pastor's thoughts about what happened, it won't flash. But when you take the word of God and see what really happened, this serpent at one time, he was a beast. So from the beginning, he was a what? a beast. Brother Branham said, a 10-foot fellow, you know, a really big fellow, the only fellow that could, you know, reproduce with humans and stuff. A really big guy, this beast. He had fur at one time because beasts have fur. Reptiles have scales. He said, thou art cursed. And when he was cursed, that's what made him a reptile. It was after the curse. Before the curse, he was a. After the curse, he was a. One more time. Before the curse, he was a. After the curse, he was a. And that's why science can't find it, because the curse takes everything out of it. They're close to it. They say, oh, we found a bone that looks like just like a human's hip bone, but that's all they can see. If they want the real answers, come over here. I'll take you through Scripture. All right, so verse 15. So it says on verse 15, it goes on to say this. And I will put enmity between thee. Now, a lot of people may argue, you can't prove that there's a serpent seed and all this kind of other stuff. Let's take it to the Urim Thummim. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman. Now, who is he talking to? The serpent. And it goes on to say, and between thy seed, who's he talking to? Between the serpent's seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now go back up to verse 15 for me, please. Now that's a big part. Put enmity. What's that word enmity mean? What is that? And between thy seed and her seed and all this kind of other stuff, what does that mean? Brother Branham explains it. He goes, all right, we'll just find it out whether it's wrong or not, and I will put enmity between thy seed and the serpent seed. What? The serpent seed. She had a seed, and he had a seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. And a bruise there means to make an atonement. So you know what that bruise means? To make a what? What did Brother Branham say? It's to make a what? Atonement. Now, this is all in the message of serpent seed. Now, there is your seed of the serpent. Now, we're bringing this to a close. He said that I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and the serpent seed. And he said, it'll bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm going to make an atonement. Because from the beginning, I didn't want all this to take place. But you know what? It's okay, because God is infinite. And in order for God to show that he's God, he has to allow things to go take place to show that he's a healer, to show that he's a savior, to show that all this kind of other stuff. Brother Branham says it in the message of serpent seed. He said, what is stronger, the savior or the sinner? What is stronger? The savior. But in order for him to prove that he's a savior, somebody has to sin first. In order for him to show that he's a healer, somebody has to get sick first. In order for him to show that he's a deliverer, somebody has to be bound first. So God sees that, man, you know, I'm inspired to speak this word. I'm under inspiration to say, you know what, I'm going to make enmity between thee and the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed. And I'm inspired to speak this, but you know what, every time that God speaks, it has to come to pass, right? When he said, let there be sun, did the sun come to pass? When he said, let there be water, did the water come to pass? When he said, let there be trees, did trees come to pass? When God speaks, it has to come to pass. But first, what it starts off as, it first starts as inspiration. It starts as a thought. God had a thought to make stars. God had a thought to make galaxies. God had a thought to do all this kind of other stuff. But it wasn't good just to be a thought. God had to speak it first. Then after that, it came into place. And as God spoke, he said, you know what, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and the woman's seed. God spoke that, but his spoken word has to come to pass one day, am I right? Now the serpent seed begins to get passed down through Cain's lineage, and they begin to go off and do their own thing. But now we see that man is sacrificing bloods of bulls and bloods of goats and all this kind of other stuff, because it was blood that got him into this mess, and it's only some type of blood that's going to get them out of this mess. But the bloods of bulls wasn't strong enough. The bloods of goats wasn't strong enough. The bloods of all this kind of other kind of sacrifices, it wasn't strong enough. Now I want you to listen to this part. God says, somehow, in some way, I got to get my seed into the earth to make an atonement for my people, because in Genesis, I said that I'm going to make an atonement for them. So I got to find somebody. I'm inspired to work with somebody, but I got to find somebody to pass down my seed. You know what? He finds Abram. And as he finds Abram, he said, Abram, I'm inspired to work with you. Come here. Come out of your people. But not only that, separate yourself from Lot. I only need you and you alone. God was inspired to use Abram at that time. He said, you know what, Abram? Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And no more are you going to be called Abram, but you're going to be called Abraham, because you're going to be the father of many nations. And through your seed is going to come my Jesus Christ. But you know what? I have to have you to pass it down. You're the person that's going to carry on my seed. You're the person that's going to carry on my inspiration. And when you turn over into the Bible, and in Matthew, it says Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judas. And when you bring a little bit more down, Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David. David begot Solomon. And when you trace it all the way down, it's another person named Jacob. And if you don't believe me, look in the book of Matthew, the first chapter. It says another man begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Joseph. Joseph was a spouse to Mary, who brought forth Jesus Christ. Amen. But how did Jesus Christ get on the scene? What did God use from the beginning? How did he create the sun? By spoken word, right? How did God create the moon? Oh, I need y'all to talk to me now. This is very important. How do you create the moon? How do you create fish? And if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the way that he did it in the beginning is the way that he's going to do it when he comes on the earth, right? So let's turn into Luke, chapter 1 and verse 32. Chapter 1 and verse 31. We're going to actually start there. So as you're turning there, how was the sun created? By what? How was the moon created? How was the clouds created? St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31. And when you have it, say amen. St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, and now I got to turn to it. Oh, I'll just read it off here. Now one more time. How was the sun created? By what? All right, now let's read this right here. Jesus is getting ready to come on the scene. And it says this, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. Now the woman is the bedding ground. The man carries the seed. The woman produces the fruit. And she's the bedding ground. In thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Go on. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, showing what lineage he's coming through. Next verse. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That also shows what lineage he came through, right? Because Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot who? And Jesse begot David. And David begot Solomon, and so on and so on. Over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, there shall be no end. Go on. Now, this is Mary. It says, Then send Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now, we're getting ready to close. Well, I just wanted to drop this off right quick. Mary didn't know. Go back to the previous verse, please. It said, Mary, she said, I didn't know a what? A man. So Mary was a virgin from the beginning, right? That's what God is looking for. A spotless bride without spot or wrinkle, not knowing any man. And when I say any man, a woman types the what? The church. Not knowing any man ideas, not any man creeds, not any man dogmas, no, nothing like that. God wants his bride to stay on the word and the word alone. She said, I didn't know any man, and that's a good thing, because if she did, she wouldn't have been able to bear this because she wasn't pure. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing, now before you go on to the next one, hold on. Don't go on to the next verse after I get done with this. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now one more time, before we go on to this next one, and this is what ties it all together. How was the sun created? How was fish created? Air and stars and all this kind of other stuff? Spoken word. Next verse. See what this says. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy. One more time. Be it unto me according to thy. And the angel departed from her. You know what? God's saying, you know what? I'm speaking to you what's going to go on, but I'm not going to even use what you have. I'm not going to use your egg. I'm not going to use no one else's seed. You know what? I'm going to put this together myself. I'm going to put this together myself. I said, I'm going to make an atonement, and no other blood is stronger. You know what? You can't even know a man. You know, you can't do any of that. I have to make an atonement. Blood of bulls and goats, that didn't work. It has to be my blood to be shed to put everything back in order. And from the message, spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham says this, and we're going to close on this. 27-1. Spoken word is the original seed. So what was it from the beginning? It was the spoken word. In order for Jesus to get on the scene, it was what? Spoken word. Now here we go. Brother Branham says this. It says, same thing today. I'm that seed that was to come. The woman seed. I'll give you a seed to the serpent. The serpent had already defiled her. He said, But thy seed I'll give you shall bruise his head. It'll make that thing back again. Amen. I just wish everybody could see that. I've come to conquer and correct what Eve had done. Eve didn't believe the word of God, and actually I want you to keep that up. I want to read one more thing for you. And you can go ahead and keep that up. Brother Branham says this, and spoken word is the original seed. He says that's the reason Eve could do what she did with her own seed, because she wasn't in the original creation. Remember when I said in the beginning that she was taken out of Adam? She wasn't part of the original creation. And I'm going back to the Bible and also this, so it's connecting right here. It says that she wasn't a part of the original creation. She's a byproduct of man, not in the creation of God. God created the whole thing, and he took a part of his creation and made him a helpmate. Now, the only reason why that the seed, the serpent seed, can mix with the woman seed is because she wasn't original from the creation. But Brother Branham says this, and spoken word is the original seed, that God's word, when you have a pure seed, like a mustard seed won't mix with anything else. Something that's pure from the beginning, it won't mix with anything else. And it said that's why Eve, what happened with her, that's why that could be done, because that the seed that could be mixed, because Eve wasn't from the original creation. She was a byproduct from it. But Jesus Christ came to correct that which had been done. It said what Eve had done, and the only way I can do it is through a woman that believed the seed. Where a woman didn't believe the seed, woman believed the word. Here, let me read that again. Let me slow down. And the only way I can do it is through a woman that believed the seed, where a woman didn't believe the seed. One woman didn't believe the seed, everything got into chaos. With one woman believing the spoken word and believing the seed, everything was restored back. With one woman believing the seed, woman believed the word, where one didn't believe it. That's where I want to stop right there. With one woman not believing the spoken word, it got everything knocked off. It got everything in whack. But with one woman believing the word of God, atonement was made. And that's where your serpent seed comes in. Just to summarize everything, musicians can come. The serpent was a what from the beginning? A reptile? He was a beast from the beginning. From the beginning, he went and told Eve. He said, if thou shalt not surely die, he preached the word and gave Eve an apple. He gave Eve an apple? He gave Eve some grapes. He gave her a pomegranate. No. The serpent came and knew Eve, and she conceived Cain. And as she conceived Cain, Cain was a man from God, right? He was a man from God? Yeah, I see. Yeah. I need y'all talking to me. Cain was a man from God, right? No. Because our Bible says that he was of that wicked one. And who was the only wicked one that we know of? Satan. And Eve, when they get in trouble and they come before the presence of God, Eve says that the serpent gave me an apple. What'd she say? The serpent beguiled me. And you can't beguile somebody with an apple. The only way you can beguile somebody is to know them. And let's get this straight. This snake slithered up into the presence of God. No, what was it? Before the curse, it was a what? After the curse, it became a reptile. So God said, I will put enmity between thee and thy seed, and it shall bruise its head, and I shall bruise its heel, and so on. And what does that mean? God's going to make a what? Atonement. Now, God spoke it, but then God had to produce what he spoke. Through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through that whole lineage and stuff, God gets Mary on the scene. And if God gets Mary on the scene, God uses Mary's egg, right? No? No. Brother Branham says Mary was just a holding cell. Mary was just an incubator. God needed his blood to be pure. He created his own egg and his own seed, mixed it together, and produced Jesus Christ, who was the blood who was our atonement, that when he died on Calvary, when he said, it is finished, that atonement was finally made to get everything back to where it happened. But it started off in the beginning. It started off bad, but you know what? The scripture says all things work together for the good. Amen? Amen. Now, I hope this was a help to everyone. And thank you, Lord, just for helping me with my reading and stuff. And I ask that, you know, if you do have any questions, that definitely, you know, I would answer them if I can. I have the message Serpent Seed. And if, you know, you find yourself like, you know, I just want a little bit more information on it, go back and listen to Serpent Seed. Because it's not my own ideas, but a prophet that God was able to raise up to let him see down in the future and all the way in the past, that's a person that has all the answers. And the thing that we want to turn to, even if Brother Branham says something wrong, now I'm just saying this. I know that Brother Branham did not say anything wrong because he was inspired by God. But you don't take anything a man says, you turn it back to the Word of God, because we read in the beginning that our Word of God, our Urim Thummim today is what? Word of God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, just for this study that you've given us, Lord, just over the message of serpent seed, Lord, just seeing where, Lord, the serpent came in and, Lord, beguiled the woman, Lord, and as, Lord, the serpent seed began to be passed down, Lord, it seemed like all hope was lost, but, Lord, you said in the beginning that you're going to make an atonement, Lord God, you're going to put enmity between the seas, Lord God, and you did exactly what you said, Lord. Lord, you brought yourself on the scene, Lord God, just using Mary's womb, Lord God, and got yourself on the scene. And as you did that, Lord, you made an atonement for us, Lord. And as you made that atonement for us, Lord, now we can come into your presence, Lord. It was blood that got us out of the presence of God, and it's blood that brings us back into the presence of God. Lord, we thank you for this study, and we ask that, Lord God, that someone that may not understand this, Lord God, may you just give the knowledge to your people, Lord God, to be able to take someone, Lord, not back to their ideas, but back to the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for this study, and we praise you for this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I pray that this was a blessing to you. And really, the funny thing is that a lot of people have told me, oh, this is a deep subject. You're going to teach on that and stuff. You know what? Brother Branham preached the message, God hidden in simplicity. And when you just yield your mind to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to see what you have for me, he'll reveal it to you. And it's not something deep and hard. You know what? It's very simple. It's very simple. And just go back to the Word, connect it with what the prophet says. Everything works out. As you prepare for tonight's tithes and offering, Brother Jack will, before I make that announcement, many of you know, and some of you may not know, but Sister Wingate. She's came and sat in our midst and also given a lot of testimonies at Brother West Coast Church and things. She's just been a real blessing unto my family. I can say that personally. But she's passed on and gone to be with the Lord. I believe that she passed away on Monday. So she passed on Monday, but you know what? Saints don't die. They just slip away. And I'm just jealous because as you know, she made it there before me. And I'm not saying I want to die and everything, but she just made it there before me. When I heard that she was gone, of course I was sad, but I was like, man, she got to see my dad before me, and she got to see so-and-so before me and stuff. But the homegoing service will actually be held in Tuesday at 10 o'clock, but it's in New York. It'll be held in New York. Information is on the board if you would like more information. And just keep the family up in prayer. Brother Jack will be ministering on Thursday, March the 24th, at True Faith in Riviera. So also that the directions to that church, I believe, are on there. He asked that, you know, if the ones that can come, come and, just kind of be those friendly faces that you see in the midst of the congregation. As well as that, the youth service that we've also talked about is on March 26th. Brother Gene Gabot will be preaching at the Boynton Church. Like I said, these announcements are located up there. On Friday, we will have our church service and everything. I pray that Brother DJ will be speaking, so I know that's going to be a treat because it always is a treat. Just like he preached last time, if you come this far, might as well go all the way. It's DJ for you. So if y'all don't come, y'all going to miss out. I'm telling you. But Brother DJ will be speaking for us on Friday, so just keep him up in prayer. So as Brother Mike and Brother Burris comes for tonight's tithes and offering. Is enlarge my territory. The original seed, the original lie, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. Son of man is revealed. Seven seals have been unveiled. The original lie, the original seed. Let's sing that one more time. The original life, the original life, the original seed. Original word is what I believe. What I believe. Oh yes, the Son of Man is revealed. The seven seals been unveiled. The original life, the original seed. Amen, let's pray. Lord, once again, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this service that you've given us, Lord. And Lord, as your people just prepare just to leave to their respective homes, Lord, we ask that you just protect them and keep them, Lord God. Just strengthen them during the Lord, rest of this week, Lord, that we may come Friday, Lord God, just to hear from your word, Lord. We ask that you just, Lord, bless our brother DJ, Lord, as he, Lord, just would prepare to speak to your people, Lord. Just give him spirit-spoken words, Lord God, that may encourage and uplift your people, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you've done and that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. Oh yes, the Son of Man is revealed. The seven seals have been unveiled. The original life, original seed.